Get ready to drop the puck, take a free throw, and step up to the plate. It's time for the Metro East Sports Podcast on lineupmedia.fm.
From the Lineup Media Studios, welcome to the Metro East Sports Podcast, season number 2, show number 37, recorded Monday, October 18th, 2021. Thanks always to partners at the top of the show, to Cassins, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Ram, Callaway Home Loans, Keller Williams Marquee, Jeb and Ginger Blasting Game, Integrity Spine and Joint Center, and Front Office Fiduciary Network. We're talking all things sports in the Metro East. I'm Dave Leip, and you know who makes the show here. It's the guests. Tonight, guest number one sitting across from me, if you're looking at us on YouTube, and look at us on YouTube, please. Please download us. Sitting across from me, Mr. Calvin May. We're going to get to him in a second. Welcome to the show, Calvin.
Thank you. Thank you, Dave.
Guest number two, in a bit, state champion Gracie Pyer and her coach from Alton Marquette, girls golf phenom. This girl's got big dreams. Second time on the show, getting her second MESPY for golfer of the year. Led the Explorers to a second place finish. Fantastic work by the Marquette Explorers. I can't wait to see Gracie and Deb. Three things you can do to help this podcast. Number one, you got to subscribe. It's free and you love it. Number two, follow us in all of our social media platforms. Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Subscribe to us on YouTube. You're going to love it. Number three, if you have a story idea, email me at mespdave@gmail.com. Getting a lot of great emails. New feature, Integrity Spine and Joint Center, team of the month. Could be a park and rec team, could be a middle school team, high school, you name it. How about a softball team? How about a bowling team?
There you go.
Team of the month. That would be. I want to hear from a bowling team that's like, you know what? We're terrible, but we have a blast.
Oh, yeah.
I want you on the show.
There you go.
If you got somebody you want to nominate, reach out to me, mespdave@gmail.com. Should I really have solicited that type of response, Calvin?
You can.
We'll see.
We'll give you the opportunity.
Please put team of the month in the subject line if you email me about a team of the month. Okay. Guest number one, I think we're ready to go. Welcome to the show, Mr. Calvin May.
Thank you, Dave, and gladly to join you and greatly appreciate it, that's for sure.
Okay, so let's start with who you are, or like the deal with you is you had a heck of a career in Major League Baseball. What did you do?
Well, I covered the St. Louis Cardinals and many other teams along with them at Busch Stadium in St. Louis and worked for some small radio stations and then the Associated Press hired me, and I worked with a guy by the name of R.B. Fallstrom and took it and ran with it and totally blew the thing out of proportion, that's for sure.
What year did you start?
I was probably... Oh, probably right around 2000, 2001, right in that area.
Okay. And so you start writing articles, and then you develop an especially close relationship with La Russa.
Yes, I did, in 2004, actually. And one night I was back home here painting my apartment. And
when you say back home here, you're talking about?
Here in Edwardsville.
Okay.
And... he come out looking for me at the post-game press conference after the baseball game. And he asked all the guys where I was at because I was gone that
Did he
night.
Know you by name?
Oh, yeah. He knew who I was.
He's Calvin. Where's Calvin?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, he did. Believe me. And all them guys said, matter of fact, RB told him that I was over here in Edwardsville painting at the apartment and that stuff. And Tony says, well, I'll catch him tomorrow night. So RB says, he'll be here.
And that was the beginning of a relationship.
Oh yeah, he come flying out of the locker room and gave me a big hug, and he says, "You're my leadoff man. From now on, you get the first question after every baseball game, no matter who's in the audience, no matter who's there, you know, big time, anything." He says, "You get the first question every night," and he did. He gave it to me till the day he retired.
So
And the day he retired, I was at the press conference at Busch Stadium, and after the press conference, he and I and his wife Elaine walked down the tunnel to the locker room, and he had a big grin on his face, and he says, Elaine, he says, this is my leadoff man, Calvin May. And he said he did one hell of a job. Matter of fact, when I got the book that was about La Russa, Three Nights in August, he wrote in there, as outstanding a leadoff man as Ricky Henderson.
Wow.
And that's exactly the wording he put in that book. And I've still got it. I've got a little case in my basement. But he did write that. And he says, as outstanding a leadoff man as Ricky Henderson. It doesn't come any bigger than that.
No. Would you say that La Russa had a positive relationship with every media person in that room?
Not necessarily.
Okay. So there was something about you.
He took a liking to and
what was it?
Took a liking to me. I got a good personality and I treat people right. That's the thing. You do the right things and good things will happen. And it happened big time on that.
Okay, when you say do the right things with Tony La Russa or do the right things as a press man, what does that mean? Be more specific.
Don't
please
come in and try to get that upper punch right in the gut and you know, knock him off his feet with a question and that stuff.
Give me an example of something that somebody else might do. You know, I think I know what you're talking about, but just ask him a tough question after a loss, like, what were you thinking? You know, you hit the wrong, you know.
Oh, and he's an Italian too, let me tell you. And he would fight back, that's for sure. And he'd answer it the best way he could, and he wouldn't really take any gruff off of anybody.
Yeah. I don't blame him.
No.
Did you ever ask him a question where he gave you a look and you thought, oh boy, I wonder if maybe I crossed a line there?
No. I was always positive, and I asked the question that he was looking for every time. And, you know, he always had a big smile on his face. I know there was one time, I think it was Joe Ostermeyer from the Belleville News Democrat. He had started asking a question, and Tony looks over at him and he says, Calvin gets the first question. He's the man. And I thought, oh no, I about went underneath the carpet there in the interview room, which was at the old Busch Stadium. He was just like that. One night, Reggie Sanders come out of the locker room. He had a big night in the game, and he grabbed Jim Hayes' microphone. And he was back in the back of the media and that stuff. Tony come flying out and gave me a big hug and got behind the microphone that night. And he looks straight me in the eyes, and Reggie Sanders starts talking. And he wanted to know if he was going to be in the lineup the next night. He took Jim Hayes' microphone away from him and started asking the question. And Tony says, Calvin gets the first question. And Reggie looked at him and he says, well, he said, I was just trying to find out if I was going to be in the starting lineup tomorrow night. And Tony says, well, he says, if you're not, you come into my office tomorrow night and we'll figure it out. So that night after the press conference there, we got done and all that. Reggie waited for me at his locker and he says, Calvin, you get the first question tonight. So that was pretty interesting. And, you know, just something that was pretty fascinating.
Yeah. And you two became friends.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I still keep in contact with Tony all the time. And I've got his home phone number and his cell phone number. And I call him, and he always answers. He always answers the calls when I call him. I'll tell you, one night, me and my wife were over at one of La Russa's ARF benefits at the Peabody Opera House. And we were there, and Tony's wife had given me and my wife a couple passes to his little event after the event that he has with the show and all that. And he'll have some of the entertainers that he has brought into St. Louis to benefit his benefit for ARF. And me and my wife were getting in line, and Randy Naughton from Channel 2 was right behind us. And I know Randy very, very well. And she says, Calvin, I hate you. I said, Randy, why is that? She says, because every time you call Tony La Russa, he answers the phone. She says, I call him, and he waits 2 or 3 days to call me back. So I told her, I said, well, you and I are still good friends, believe me, and we'll always be good friends. And she says, you're right. She says, but let me tell you, when I have to work with somebody that they get the calls all the time and I don't, you know, it's crazy.
Did anybody actually resent you?
No, not really.
For the preferential treatment?
No,
nobody in the room. Everybody just kind of said,
Rick Hummel and Derek Gould and Bernie Miklas and all those guys, you know, they were right there with me. And matter of fact, me and Derek Gould and the commish, we still keep in contact. And you know, Derek's one of my big supporters, and so is the commish. And situation with Bernie and that, I've you know, made a little contact with him periodically and that stuff. But since all the moves over in St. Louis with the radio business and that, you know, it's kind of a little bit of a different situation right now.
Mm. Well, honestly, I'm out of that loop. I really don't, you know, some of the stuff I may know about. Most of the stuff I don't know about.
Sure.
Let's get into your past. How did you get into sports media?
I went through Broadcast Center in St. Louis, and I completed that and finished that, and I kept telling everybody that I would like to get into some sports, you know, doing interviews with ball players and getting to do some major interviews with them and that stuff and do it the right way. And I started helping a guy that I worked with, Jeff Sterneman, up at WINU in Highland, Illinois. And I started doing that a little bit and then kept making a little bit of progress with a few other stations and that, and worked for KKID, excuse me, worked for KKID Radio out of Rolla, Missouri. And the guy who owned it was a dentist in Belleville, and his name was Dave Wheeler. And he says, why don't you come join us, and you can still do it up at WINU, because he had part ownership in that as well. So I said, yeah, we could do that. And things kept growing with that and growing with that. And then after a while, a few years, I was down in the locker room, and R.B. Falstrom, who works for the Associated Press and is the boss, and that, he asked me, he says, hey, you want to come join us, being a stringer and, you know, doing a little bit of writing and that stuff. And I said, sure. So he got me hired on there, and I still did a little bit with the other radio stations and that. And when Albert Pujols come up with the Cardinals, he told me, he said, from now on, you are not going to be allowed to come up here to the press box until you talk to Albert, because he said, every game, I want you down there. And they kept me down there every game with Albert Pujols. And matter of fact, the two guys that was always down there was me and Brian Burwell.
Mm.
And me and Brian had a blast with Albert. And matter of fact, one night he hit a ball that knocked out the eye in Big Mac Land. And we were all down there, and me and Brian were the last two media people in there with him. And we got down near the nitty gritty of the end, and I thought, I'm going to ask this question, see what he says. So I said, I asked him, I said, Albert, I said, do you expect to get a bill from the St. Louis Cardinals for knocking that eye out of Big Mac Land? He looks over at me and he says, no, I expect to get a Big Mac. I mean, it was so funny. Burwell was rolling on the floor when he said that. I mean, it was just hilarious. And
pretty quick.
Yo, you got a good answer out of it.
Yeah, he sure did.
And I'm surprised somebody didn't turn that over to McDonald's and let them run with it.
Yeah.
Nobody ever did.
Wow. I'm going to call a timeout and talk about Cassin's Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram. Thanks to partner Cassin's Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram, the number one place to purchase a vehicle in the Metro East. If you're in the market for a new or a pre-owned car, check out Cassin's inventory in person, where they've been for 25 years, or online at Cassin's.com. Cassin's has earned the highest ratings for customer service. Their expert staff is committed to making your car buying experience enjoyable, including convenient on-site financing. I've purchased 4 vehicles there. My daughter drives an IU Red Jeep Cherokee, and my wife and I are on our second Jeep Grand Cherokee. With over 80 years of experience in the Metro East, Cassin's is the clear-cut leader for quality, service, and customer satisfaction. Go see Steve, Cliff, Holly, Greg, Bob, Mike, Tony, or Trent today. All right, Calvin. We're talking with Calvin May, former stringer for the AP, former buddy, Tony La Russa, current buddy of Tony La Russa, and a man who was definitely trusted by Tony La Russa.
Every year, I text him and wish him a happy birthday, and he always responds back to me. And he's responded back to me with my birthday as well. So he had asked me when my birthday was and all that, and we text each other and wish each other a happy birthday every year on our birthdays.
Were you surprised that he took a leap back into the big leagues with the White Sox?
No, I think he'd rather be in the dugout than he would be in an office, and the office wasn't his thing. You know, he did a few trends with a few of the clubs that he got involved with and mm-hmm. that stuff. And I think the dugout was the spot. And I know he's really good friends with Jerry Reinsdorf in mm-hmm. Chicago.
Right.
And Reinsdorf, you know, really didn't know who he was going to put in the dugout there until he, made contact with La Russa again. And Tony told him yes. So that's pretty awesome in itself. And I think the White Sox next season could make another trip to the playoffs never know what can happen.
He's a fantastic manager. What do you think is the strength of La Russa?
I think his knowledge and his integrity of everything and he's a whiz at working with Major League Baseball players and he'll tell you like it is too. Let me tell you, no matter if you're Albert Pujols or one of the other big name players and that stuff He'll let them know if something's not working right. And I think that's the key of the whole thing. You know, keep these guys going in the right direction and keeping them play to their best ability. It's a positive thing when you have a manager like that.
And over a decade of service, and you were never in the doghouse with La Russa.
Never. Not one time. Not one time.
Well, no wonder he trusted you so much.
Yeah, and it lasted from 2004 until the day he retired. That's a pretty long period, let me tell you.
Okay, what about other sports that you covered during that time? Was it just Cardinal baseball?
Oh, no. I actually I covered Michael Jordan and the Chicago Bulls. I did certain games up there for WINU in Highland, Illinois, and I covered quite a few of the Chicago Bulls games with Michael Jordan, Dennis Rodman, Scottie Pippen, and Tony Kukoc, Luke Longley, and all those guys, I had fun with that. But I covered the Blues and I covered the Rams and I got to go to the Super Bowls with the Rams and that was a treat and then when they won the World Series the Super Bowl in Atlanta. Against the Tennessee Titans, that was huge, and it was a good time, that's for sure.
So you covered a lot.
I've covered it all. Yep, I have, that's for sure. And it's
hockey
and basketball and football and baseball. Yeah, I did. So, and I kept every little media guide and all that stuff that from year to year and all that stuff. I put them in a plastic container and hung on to them all.
Got them all.
That way I could show people that I did do it, and it wasn't just me saying it. And you're not going to get it given to you. So, hey, when I covered the games and all that, I kept them and show them a lot of the stuff that I did get from covering these basketball, baseball, hockey, and football teams.
Were you writing the articles, or were you gathering the quotes?
I was getting the quotes. I was getting the quotes. Every now and then I'd write a little something and that, but... But most of the time it was getting the quotes, because the guys that I worked for, they liked it, and I would bring them back top-notch information and quotes and all
perfect.
That. Perfect.
Was this all tape recorder days?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, everything was tape recorder days, and that's the way we did it.
Perfect.
Yeah.
How about now?
It's still tape recorder.
No, but what about you up to now? Are you retired? Are you still doing it? Getting out working?
I don't do it anymore because of the COVID situation and all that.
Okay.
And when I worked for the AP, RB retired, and then they were only going to have one person in the press box, and there was like five or six of us guys that worked there, and it wasn't worth the time. Just working one night per series and maybe not even one night during the series and all that and that situation. So
you're semi retired now?
No. I matter of fact, to be honest with you, I work about 40 hours a week out at Linda Casson's house here in Edwardsville, and I've done that for probably about 20 years. I've helped her out and taking care of her house and
very good.
Everything that she requires of me and everything like that. She gives me 40 hours a week.
There you go.
And that's all I want. Okay. You know?
Perfect.
Yeah.
And what do you see as the future of the Cardinals? I got to ask you that question before you get out of here.
It depends. It depends on, you know, who they hire as a manager and all that. You know, get this situation with Schilt and all that taken away and put that in the past and go forward.
Cards fired manager Mike Schilt.
Yes.
Despite three consecutive playoff appearances.
Yes, yes, sir.
That's a tough way to fire somebody.
That's a tough philosophical
differences, but this isn't the Cardinal broadcast.
No.
So
no.
I don't really that's about the most St. Louis sports talk we've had on this thing. And
sure.
You know? Good luck to the Cardinals. I wish them well.
Yeah.
Exactly. But congratulations to you on a fantastic career and a great relationship.
Yeah.
How about some of the other players that you really seem to get along well with besides Pujols?
Oh, I'll tell you.
David
Freese was one of the big ones that I got along with very well and it was actually so funny. When they won the World Series in 2011, after each game, when Matt Adams was playing first base, Freeze would call me over to his locker. He'd say, "Hey, Calvin, come here. I got something to tell you." So he'd say, "We got a new name for Big City over there tonight." And the one night I went in there, he says his new nickname is Big Kitty. So
hello,
yeah,
family
that's
show.
What I said. So, but it was funny how he did that. And then the next night, game two of the series in St. Louis, he would come over to me and he'd say, "Calvin, come here. And he would come over there and he'd say, Matt's new name tonight is Big Sexy."
Wow.
So, yeah. So, I mean, it was so funny that
he put any of that in the paper?
No, I didn't.
Tonight, yeah. Big City is Big Sexy.
Big Sexy and Big Kitty.
Yeah.
I mean, David was just an awesome individual, and I got along with him very well. I get along with everybody, even, you know, the ones who are pretty hardcore and all that.
Okay, but here's the thing. You weren't writing stories. Correct. You were just getting quotes.
Correct.
So you never had an opinion in there. So I think you had the luxury, now that I understand exactly what you did.
Yeah.
So they considered you safe zone.
Yeah.
So you had the luxury of actually sure. probably getting closer to them
oh, yeah.
than a quote-unquote reporter. So right. good for you.
Yeah. Yeah. But, I mean, I had fun with them and all that. And they knew, you know, I like to joke around a little bit here and there and just have fun with them. And, you know, Adam Wainwright was one of the best individuals to me. Like I say, David Freeze and Colton Wong was totally awesome. And
yeah.
There really wasn't nobody in there that really, you know, didn't want to talk to me or
right.
you know, even intervene with me or anything like that. And I know Lance Berkman, when he was there, I had more fun with him than you could imagine. it was a good time with Lance as well. And just, you know, it's it was all good stuff. I can promise you that. I never had a negativity in it that I can ever remember.
So you did a lot of work with a lot of teams, but you obviously spent the most time with the Cardinals.
Correct.
Closer to them than any other team.
Yeah. Matter of fact, I got to know Joe Maddon pretty well, the Cubs, and they won the World Series in 2016. And when I would go over and cover the Cubs periodically and that stuff, and me and my wife are good friends with Butch Patrick, who is Eddie Munster. And we've been good friends with him for years. And
wait, what?
Yeah, we've been good friends with him for years.
And Eddie Munster,
yep, Butch Patrick.
So you're like, hey, I'm going to reach out. Like, how do you become friends with Butch Patrick?
Well, it was fascinating. I have a friend, Gordon Wittenmeyer, who writes for the Chicago Sun-Times, and he and I are real good friends. And he went down and told Maddon one night, and Maddon was a huge Butch Patrick fan. So one night, Gordon says,
wait, why is Maddon a huge Butch Patrick?
Oh,
Eddie Munster, why? Why?
He is, and
why would anybody be a huge Butch Patrick fan?
Oh, he likes some of the shows that were just off the wall, and he would just, you know.
Okay, I'll admit it. I have a small penchant for Hogan's Heroes.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't tell you any of the actors. Wait, who are the actors in Hogan's? I'm drawing blanks.
Colonel Klink and.
No, those are the characters. Who are the actors?
Oh, the actor.
Who was the guy?
Alan Alda.
No, he wasn't in Hogan's.
He wasn't in there. I'm off with it, I guess.
I can't think of Hogan's. Anyway, you go ahead.
Gordon, he asked me one night, he says, hey, can you get a picture signed for Matt? I said, yeah. He says, we come back in a few weeks. And he said that would be ultimate to give him a picture signed by Butch Patrick in the dugout before the baseball game in the press conference there. So I said, I'll get it done, because me and my wife were going to Butch's wedding in Macon, Missouri.
Wait, what? You went to Butch?
We went to Butch Patrick, Eddie Munster's wedding in Macon, Missouri.
What's he up to now?
He's still going around signing autographs at different events and shows and everything like that.
Amazing.
I keep in contact with him all the time. Me and my wife both do. He's a really, really good personality and a great individual is what he is.
Didn't think we were going to be talking about Eddie Munster tonight.
Well, me and Joanne got there the day of Butch's wedding. We went to his house. So we were there and we were in his kitchen.
He lives in Branson.
No, he lives in Macon, Missouri.
Lives in Macon.
Macon, Missouri. And I told him, I said, hey.
Why?
That's where his family was from. And his grandma owned a house there and he bought the house. So we were in the kitchen, and I told him, I said, hey.
Learning so much.
Yeah. And he said, Joe Maddon, the manager of the Chicago Cubs, would like to have an autographed photo from you. He says, well, let me go upstairs and get one. So he went up and grabbed two of them and signed one for Mike Matheny, too, as well. And when he was the manager of the Cardinals as well. So I got one for both these guys. And the night the Cubs came back into town, I told Gordon, I said, I got the photo. He said, no way. I said, yeah. So we took it down to the dugout, and after the press conference, I gave it to Maddon, and Maddon stood in the dugout, and he says, come here, let's get a picture with this photo, you and I. So all the Chicago was taking pictures of it and all that stuff, a lot of the Chicago media. And, it was the biggest thing that he's ever probably gotten in his life, it seemed like. And that was pretty fascinating there.
Wow.
And matter of fact, me and my wife.
What's her name? Say your wife's name.
Her name's Joanne May. Joanne DiMaggio May.
Joanne DiMaggio.
DiMaggio, yes.
And she's an Edwardsville girl too?
No, she's actually from Italy. Italy, yes. She's an Italian girl.
How'd you meet her?
I was up in Alton taking photos of the Eagles up there in trees. So she was working at the Walgreens here in Edwardsville, and I took all my film up there to get it developed, and she liked the photos of the Eagles, and I told
her. She's not supposed to look at them.
Well, I gave her, I, 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 uh, gave her, I, one night she was working, and I gave her one of my, my cards through the radio station and that, and I told her, I said, you want to go up sometime, because she really liked the photos. I said, you want to go sometime? You give me a call. Well, she gave me a call on her birthday.
I think Sade wrote a song about you.
Yeah. I mean, it was very interesting and all that, but
awesome.
That just brought it out, you know, and we got knowing each other and hanging out and
Know what happens next. You don't have to explain anymore.
Eventually, no, you gotta listen to this now. Eventually, I told her when we were really talking about getting married and all this stuff, I told her, I said,
how many years have you been married?
Seven years.
Okay.
Okay. So what I did was I got a hold of Melody Yount up in the press box one night, and I said, Melody, I got something I want to do. And she says, Calvin, what would you like to do? I said, I'd like to propose to my wife at home plate at Busch Stadium. So
she wasn't your wife.
Not yet, but I
want to
propose
to my girlfriend.
My girlfriend. And Melody says, let me talk to Brian Bartow, who is the media relations director with the Cardinals, and security. So she says, I'll get back with you. So the next night, she gets back to me. She says, Calvin, when would you like to do this? So I told her, the Cardinals are out of town on October the 5th. I said, I would like to do it on October the 5th. So she says, what time would you like to do this? And I said, oh, maybe about 4 o'clock, I'll tell my wife that she won a prize through the Cardinals, and I need her and her family, and I'll get my family to come down here, and we'll do it at home plate.
Her family from Italy?
No, well, they live in Highland, Illinois.
Okay.
Now, and they own a restaurant, DiMaggio's Pizza, up there.
DiMaggio's, is it good?
Yeah, oh, it's delicious.
DiMaggio's Pizza in Highland is good.
Yes.
You promise?
I promise. Believe me, I eat pizza, and that's
should we say it one more time?
One. DiMaggio's Pizza.
DiMaggio's Pizza in Highland,
Illinois. Yes,
how many
sir.
Times did we say it? If we said it seven times. If that's not worth something,
yeah.
DiMaggio's Pizza in Highland. I'm gonna go.
Yeah, yeah.
I never met a pizza I didn't like.
Right, there you go.
All right,
exactly. So I told Melody. I said maybe about 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon we can do this. She says, "You call me when you get outside the door with your family members, and I will come down and get you." So.
Did she know what was up?
I told her she had won a prize through the Cardinals because she and I had been to a baseball game or two.
You are clever.
So, yeah, you know.
Once again, smooth operator.
Smooth operator, that's it. So we got down there and all that, and I brought a couple of baseball bats with me and a baseball and the ring and everything like that.
That's awesome.
And we came through the stadium, and the family members got to – sit in the stands right there behind the screen at home plate, and you're feeling lucky.
Yeah. Was there any doubt in your mind? Were you like, oh, this is 90%, 50-50, 70-30?
Nope. She liked me.
It was a lock.
She liked me too well, and I liked her too well.
I'm noticing a trend.
Yeah.
Everybody seems to love you.
Yeah.
You're like that Raymond guy on the TV.
That's it. Exactly. And you know, I don't have a negative bone in my body, And I am as positive can be, and to everybody that I meet and everybody that I know and all that and
where does this positivity come from?
Trying to be the real deal, you know. If you're the real deal and you can be positive and you can get people to like you, don't be mean to them. You know, some people are that way, and I could never ever be that way, and you know. It's better to be nice to people. I've made more friends. I'm real good friends with Ted Nugent, and my wife doesn't like his music, but she can tolerate it.
Wait.
And I've been friends with Ted Nugent since 1990.
Does your wife has heard Stranglehold?
Oh yeah.
All the way up to like 10.
Yeah.
Blasting down the river road.
Yep.
Darn it! And she doesn't love Ted. I don't understand. I don't understand that.
I'll tell you what we're gonna do is.
Have you sought counseling?
No.
Okay.
But come this.
You don't need counseling. It's
right around November, right around in the November area. I've told my wife we would try to make arrangements with him to where I can take Joanne up to his house and meet him in Jackson, Michigan, is where he's got a farm.
He's a hunter. You better be careful. He's going to play some game and set you loose. And
He likes me very well.
Good.
And you know, it's...
Good old Ted.
Yeah, yeah.
He's an interesting guy. He's led a clean lifestyle despite what people might think about him.
Yeah, exactly. It's crazy how I've made friends with a lot of these people that I've associated with and all that. And even Kirk Reeder, who pitched with the San Francisco Giants, he and I are very good friends. And I've been friends with him for years and years and years as well.
That's cool.
You know, you have fun. Even Kenny Obergfeld, he's a great guy from Maryville, Illinois. I've known him for a long time as well.
Okay, text him again and tell him that he needs to get on the show. I want to reach out to him again and get him on here because I agree. He was one of my big ones that I looked up to when I was a kid.
He's a
Cardinal
great guy.
Third baseman.
Great guy.
Yeah, and, fantastic. And,
I will talk to him. For sure.
Okay, Calvin May, thank you so much for coming by here tonight. I think you'll have to come back and do a part two.
We'll do it. All you got to do is let me know. We'll come back and do it. And if you want me to bring my wife with me to sit in and she can tell you some of my stories and all that.
That'd be great.
We have a ball, she and I do.
Maybe we'll get Eddie Munster on the phone.
I can get him. If he comes into Edwardsville or St. Louis and that stuff, I can bring him along
with
me.
Get him on the phone.
That would be no problem, sure.
Calvin May, thanks so much for coming by.
You're welcome, Dave, and anytime. All you got to do is just let me know.
Before I get to guest number two, state champion Gracie Pyre and her coach, Deb Walsh, let me talk about Andy Calloway of Calloway Home Loans because he saves me money every month now and he'll save my family thousands in the long run. How? He refinanced my existing mortgage, and he can do the same for you. Rates are incredibly low, and you need to take advantage of an easy, fast, and affordable way to refinance. They do conventional FHA and VA loans. And ask for the MESP special. If you refinance with Andy, he will donate $100 to the Metro East High School or Junior High team of your choice. He'll give $100 to Marquette Girls Golf. He'll give $100 to East Alton Wood River Basketball. He'll give $100 to Edwardsville Wrestling, you name it. Call Andy today at 618-830-3332. Save money and support your favorite team in the Metro East. Okay, welcome to the show. The champ.
Thanks. Get
sick of hearing that yet?
No, not yet.
And no matter how old you are and where you go, you will always be a state champion. So congratulations to you, Gracie Pyre of Marquette High School. And Coach Deb Walsh, congratulations to you, too. You guys brought home a big trophy. Second place in the state of Illinois in girls golf is a big deal. It's a big deal. Yeah. So congratulations to you on your huge achievement as well. Let's talk about your vision going into this season.
So beginning of the season, it started off pretty hot. I shot a 2-under at tryouts. And then,
you made the team. Was there any doubt at tryouts? Deb, were you thinking at tryouts? You know, this girl's got potential.
I'm like, oh my gosh, at tryouts, she's shooting 2-under. Here we go. Get ready.
You got to get close to that microphone for me. Yeah. So, but just like anybody else, she's got to come out and shoot her score to determine where she's going to be in the lineup. But I got to imagine you pretty much knew that Gracie Pyre was going to play number one for the Explorers this year.
I did know. Anybody that walks in at tryouts and shoots 2-under is going to be at that position one.
Yeah. But she wasn't the only girl on the team.
No.
And if you're going to get a second place trophy, you got to have more than the best player in the state. You have to have a good team. Who were the other girls on this team?
So we had Audrey Kane. She played number two. And we had Ava Bartosiak. She's a junior, played number three. We had Clancy Maggs, senior, playing four. Lily Montague playing five. She's a junior. And Carly Ryder playing six, and she's also a junior.
And didn't the girl who played number six, didn't she just start pretty recently?
She picked up a golf club last summer and has worked hard. She did really good at tryouts. There were three of them that I was looking at to fill that sixth position, and Carly ended up getting that spot.
How do you determine that spot? How many rounds do you play? Are you just playing round after round? Are you watching these kids play?
So we had practice all summer. We started in June. Well, not official practice, but, you know, open gym. Started in June. Carly showed up. worked on her game all summer. Tryouts happened, and she was the one that shot the best that day. And everything goes off of what that score is, so that there's no, you know, the coach favors her or the coach favors that. It's straight up score.
Yeah, me yep. too, in tennis. Play yep. each other. And so I think golf, yep. we have that, you know, in our sports, we have luxury of go out and play each other. I'm not yep. playing the kid that I think is the best shortstop. So good right. for you for that. You had a vision not only for yourself, but you had a vision for your team also, Gracie.
Yeah, we wanted to win regionals, so we did that. We had a four-peat, which is nice. And then our next goal was state, and we did that. So, yeah, we played really well at state, obviously. Yeah. And, yeah, we just played our game all season, and it worked. So,
you take your responsibility as a leader seriously. I know because I asked you last time you were on the show, you know, do you want to be a leader? Do you take that responsibility seriously? And you talked about how you did that again this year. Do you feel like you grew even more as a leader this year, and were you even more comfortable in that role this year?
Yes, definitely. Yeah, like me and Audrey, we're the main leaders on the team, which, yeah, I think we did a really good job this year. So,
Are you ever able to see the other girls on the course while you're playing?
Yeah, sometimes. It's mainly Audrey since she's number two, so she's closer to me.
Okay.
But if I see the other girls, I'll wave and, you know, we'll sign a few things. So.
It's funny, you know, I'm always coaching when you guys are playing, so I've never been yeah. able to go to a girls' or a boys' high school golf match, but I think it would be really interesting. I'd like to see it. How many people follow you around? Your parents follow you around, but they can't talk to you, right? Right,
yeah.
Okay.
So it's usually my parents, sometimes my sister, but I don't know. It just depends on the day.
And she's an eighth grader?
Seventh grade.
Seventh grader. Seventh and is she a golfer also?
Sometimes. She has a set of clubs, and, I mean, sometimes she goes out with me, but not regularly.
Okay, so you're not dragging her out there every day?
No.
Okay, is she playing anything else?
She plays volleyball, basketball. She used to play soccer, but she took a break. And, yeah, that's it, basketball and volleyball.
What do you remember about that final round? And I'm going to ask you first. Deb, what do you remember from that final round?
So for me, it was the shots on 18. You know, knowing that you're the leader coming up to 18, I think it can get a little bit nerve-wracking and trying to keep yourself in your game. You know where you're at. You already know you're there. So I think those four shots on a par five were probably the best shots she had.
So that was 18?
That was 18.
Par five coming into it. And
into the wind.
Into the wind.
A lot of wind.
What'd she hit off the tee?
I hit driver.
Yeah, driver.
Yeah.
Coach's choice?
Mm-mm-mm. Gracie's choice.
So were you okay with that?
Oh, yeah. It's an open par five and played right into her game. It's a perfect club to hit for her off that tee.
So you were fine. You're like, okay, because yep. All I hear are golf coaches saying, last thing I wanted was her to hit that club, but you were cool with it.
Yep. I Gracie's so confident in her game that I don't usually walk up to her and say, hey, I think it's a wedge or I think it's a nine. She already knows what she's going to hit. Her plan is already in play, and she just executes it. So that's to her benefit. She has great determination. And really knows what she should do.
So you've already mapped out how you're going to map. You've already mapped out your course management, what you're going to hit off right, every single hole before you go. And you walk the course with your dad.
Correct.
Right?
Yep.
Every course, every time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my dad and I usually, well, it depends like when it is, but we usually go up like 2 weekends before like a big tournament. And we play the course once, maybe twice. And, you should see our notes that we take. It's long. we know where to hit it, where not to hit it, where the green breaks, everything. So,
well, it was a close one too because you won by 5 strokes over Danny Schrock. Mm-hmm. And was there ever a time when you doubted yourself and you thought, because you told me before that you do not get in your own head. Mm-hmm. So tee to green. First round to second round, no worries, no negativity, no negative thoughts that you had to battle, no demons?
So the first round, I shot 65, 7 under. I was feeling good about it. the second day, I'm not going to lie, I was pretty nervous off the first tee. So I duck hooked it into the weeds, couldn't find it. I doubled the hole. Then I went on to make two birdies. And then on 7, 8, and 9, I went bogey, bogey, bogey. Yeah, so I shot 39 on the front. And making the turn, so like on the app that we use, you can check out the leaderboard. And I usually don't check that because I really don't care. I just worry about my own game. But I was checking it that day, and Dana Grace was 4 under through like 10, I think. I was like, oh my gosh, we're tied now. She came out of nowhere, to be honest.
And then, are you familiar with her?
Oh, yeah. Her and I have been playing, I don't know, since 8th grade together.
And where's she from? I can't tell.
She's from Pontiac.
Okay.
Yeah, so making the turn, I was like, I had a, what was it, 7-stroke lead going into this, 6-stroke lead. I was like, I'm not losing. So I went on and made 4 birdies on the back. But the last hole, it was crazy. Like Deb said earlier, the wind was, I don't know, it was crazy.
So I hit no wind the first day.
Yeah, no wind the first day. And then I hit driver, and then I had about 240 yards out. But the day before, I had 200. Like, that's how bad the wind was.
Yeah.
So I had a difficult shot coming in. I could hit 6-iron and have, like, 120 in, or I could hit 3-wood and almost get it on the green. I was like, I don't know. I mean, I might as well just go for it one last time. So I hit 3-wood, came up a little short. Then I had about 30 yards, hit it to 3 feet and made the putt for birdie. So it was definitely one way to go out with it. So
that's awesome. For your last hole of high school. Okay. I want to hear some more about what you will remember from this season. And I also want to hear about your next steps, because I know you have big goals and big dreams, but I know that college is your first one right in front of you. So I want to hear where you are in that process. But first, I got to talk about Keller Williams Marquis. If you're looking to buy or sell a home in the Metro East on the Illinois or Missouri side, please give our partners at Keller Williams Marquis, Jeb and Ginger Blasingame, the chance to serve you. They have offices in Waterloo, O'Fallon, and Edwardsville with more than 130 agents. The Blasingames are a family-owned business that has helped over 5,000 families find just the right home. The Lipes are one of those families. Jeb and Ginger sold our house quickly because they're experts at staging and pricing. And they helped us find the perfect home, and they can do the same for you. No wonder they're ranked in the top 10 real estate teams in North America. Give Jeb and Ginger Blasingame a call at 618-578-9276 or check them out online at blasinggamegroup.com. You will love them, guaranteed. Okay, what will you remember from this season?
So for the entire season, I shot 35 under, and junior year, I was 3 over for the season. So that's a huge difference.
So you improved significantly.
Oh, yeah.
Junior year to senior year.
Yes.
And that you did every single year of your career.
Mm-hmm.
What's the secret? I know what it is, but go ahead and tell our audience.
Practice.
Yeah.
How
many hours a day in the summer on a typical day?
A day?
Tell me, what time would you go to the course? What time would you go to the range?
In summertime, I usually wake up around 6, get out there 6:37, practice till 12, go home, eat lunch, just hang out.
You're practicing for 5 hours?
In the morning, and then I go home, eat lunch, either do stuff for my parents, like get errands done, or just take a little break, and then whenever my dad gets home around 5, we eat dinner, then head back out to the course till dark. So
wait, did you say you got up at 6:30, practiced, and then did errands for your parents in the afternoon?
Yeah, I help my parents out just because they work all day. So I have nothing else to do. I might as well help them.
I'm gonna get that outtake and send that to my children. Then they can stop complaining about what a terrible father I've been. I'm gonna be like, there are kids that are out there that they probably don't even have to ask you, do they?
Oh no, no, I.
And a whole team of those.
Yeah.
I'm about to ask you, Deb, what's it like? What's it been like to coach this girl? I mean, I'm listening to her. I think I know, but go ahead.
Well, Gracie's just that person. She, freshman year, so shy, wouldn't talk to me, barely would look me in the eye.
Because she didn't like you?
No. I think Gracie just was that shy. And now I look at her and the confidence is just there. And I think that's where the improvement came from, too, is she knew what she needed to do, and she did it. And she never ever said, I can't do it. I didn't hear that come from her. It was always, okay, let's try it. Let's do it.
And as a freshman, did she even have this vision for herself where she was going to be a state champ? Did you sense that?
I knew freshman year that she had potential to do that, yes.
Okay.
I'd been to state. I knew what those state champions were, and the attitudes and the confidence, the determination, and that Gracie had all those characteristics.
Hmm. What's it like to play for Coach?
Well, it's amazing. She's so supportive. Not just me, but the whole team. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah,
it's awesome. She's always there for all of us. So.
And you're attracting kids to the game.
Yes.
You're going out in the school. And I like it that isn't your secretary one your assistant coach? Is that not true?
She's the athletic secretary, yes.
Athletic secretary.
Yeah, she is my assistant coach.
Is your assistant coach.
Yep.
I think that's cool.
We have a great relationship.
What's her name?
Her name is Deanna Bridgewater.
Deanna Bridgewater. That's right, because I get emails from Deanna Bridgewater all the time. You know, yes. As a tennis coach, you know, where are we playing at this time, that time? And so good for Deanna Bridgewater.
Yeah, she's just been awesome this season.
Because you're not a teacher at Marquette.
I am not.
What do you do professionally?
I'm in the business office.
At Marquette.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you are at Marquette.
Yeah.
You're just not a teacher. Yeah. Good enough. And how long have you been there?
This is my 12th year there.
Okay. And should we talk about our history?
I don't think so.
Cool. I think we're going to. Too late.
Oh, my goodness.
Let's do this.
Okay, go.
So, Deb, I'm looking at the camera on YouTube. And when I was in college, Deb was the manager at Musicland.
I was.
In 1986.
At Alton Square.
This is like, so I'm a student at Principia College.
Yep.
And I'm in a long break. And I got a fantastic job at Musicland, and you hired me.
Yep.
And I had a great time there.
We had a blast.
I had a fantastic time. That was a great job. People would come in, hey, I'm looking for Going to California by Led Zeppelin. And I'd be like, oh, that's the B-side of Whole Lotta Love. You know, I started to learn stuff, and I had a good time. And that was just when I feel like tapes were what people were buying.
Yep. Cassettes were really big, CDs were coming out. Yeah.
Yeah. So
that was a big music boom then.
So then when I heard your name, I'm like, I know her. She was my boss at Musicland. That's just crazy. that was so long ago. It's so fun to see you again. Yep. And congratulations on your success.
Thank you very much.
So how did you go from manager at Musicland? Was it Musicland or Camelot?
It was Musicland.
Okay, good. Yeah. I got it right.
It was Musicland.
That was fun. Yeah. And that was the year that the Christmas, the Run DMC Christmas album came out that year.
Sure.
And the Bob Geldof, the Live Aid.
The Live Aid Christmas Aid. Yes.
So like we played that over and
all
over. But it was so fun being in the mall at Christmas time. I had always had a different job at Christmas time at a different mall. And it was always put me in the Christmas spirit. I loved
time.
It. Yeah, it was fantastic.
We had a good crew then, too. We had
yeah,
a good time.
We had a blast.
Yeah.
Gracie's like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, I don't know.
With my last guest, we talked about Eddie Munster for like 15 minutes. This is a podcast. We can do this. If you don't like it, you can fast forward. That's good. That's good memories. All right, so you got some paper in front of you. Oh. I want to know what it is.
So it talks about my stats from the postseason. So regionals, I shot 65, 7 under. I had 8 birdies, 1 eagle, and 3 bogeys.
You had an eagle?
Yeah, on hole number 16 at Belk Park, the par 5 over the water.
Wait, hang on a second. I do know what that hole is.
Yeah, so on the front side, I shot 1 under 35, and then on the back, I shot 30. I missed a 4-footer on the last hole to shoot 29.
These are like golden tee things you're doing. These are like golden tee scores, the video game that you're making eagles on that hole. That's really amazing. Oh,
thank you.
Okay, so I told you I want to talk about next steps with both of you. Let's start with you. You're coaching again next year, and you're going to have a room full of girls, and now you don't have Gracie Pyre at the top of your lineup. What do you say to these girls when you start off?
Well,
day number one.
You know, I had those 3 juniors that went this year to state, and I think they learned a lot. They grew a lot. They understand what it takes to lead a team now. So I'm going to depend on that group. You know, we're still going to have tryouts. They're still
names.
Make
Give me those
team.
Names.
Ava Bartosiak, Lily Montague, and Carly Ryder. Those are the 3 juniors from this year. So I'm going to depend on them to lead the team as they learned from probably the 3 best leaders I've had on a team for Audrey and Gracie and Clancy. You know, they're good people. They believe in themselves. They believe in others. They teach that.
And that trip to state will motivate them.
Oh yeah.
Success motivates. And finishing second and bringing home that big trophy, that's going to make those girls want to repeat, you know, regionals, sectionals, conference, all that stuff. They're going to want to get back at it. So that's a good point. It's not like you're graduating everybody.
And you know, we brought home that trophy. There's not a girls' golf trophy for state in there now, and we have one, and this group did it.
Yeah, that's cool, and you did it too. Yeah, congratulations to you.
Thank you.
That's huge. Next steps for you. Last time you were here, you talked about huge dreams for yourself, college and beyond. Where are you? And you can be as specific as you want to be. Where are you in the process of picking a college?
So I verbally committed to California State Northridge. It's about 30 miles from downtown LA, which is a suburb outside of LA. So I sign, I think it's November 10th. Is like the official signing day. So I'll sign there and then I'll leave next August.
Wow.
So.
That's great. You'll have to look up my son, Seth, who is, he'll be a senior next year at Occidental in Los Angeles also.
Okay.
So, well, good for you.
Thank you.
Are you worried about going so far away from home?
Nope.
You're excited.
Yeah, I'm excited.
You laughed.
Yeah.
Cause you know, she's ready.
Yeah. She's totally ready. I think she's pretty much like, bring it, let's go.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Exactly. Yeah. But I'm excited for something new. I mean, I've lived in Illinois my whole life. There's
but
not
the weather
here.
Is so great here in the winter. Yeah. You're gonna miss it so much when you're able to play golf.
Year round, yeah.
Right.
Tell them what courses you get to play.
Oh, my gosh. Well, we get to play Murfield Village, which I think that's the course where Mary Ellen Jacobs works at, I'm pretty sure. And then we play Woodland Hills Country Club. I don't know. We play all the top courses in LA. So.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
And my guess is you're going to go out there and you're not going to want to come back.
Probably not.
I'm not worried about you. I'm worried about your dad. What's he going to do? Is he going to fly out for every match?
Yeah. My parents do plan on, and my sister, they plan on going to every tournament. So, yeah.
Is this Division I, Division II, NAIA?
Division I.
Division I. Mm-hmm. And any ideas what you want to study?
Either business or real estate.
Okay.
So my parents do real estate.
So. All right. Right. I see your mom. She always has, she's flipping houses. And anybody looking for a rental and has pictures, I'm always like, man, that rental looks pretty good.
Yeah.
Why did you pick this school besides the fact that it's in Los Angeles and it's warm? Why this school?
So number one, I wanted to go far away from Illinois. and then number two, I really clicked with the coach. We've had so many phone calls and emails.
Coach's name?
Coach Umek, Gina Umek. So yeah, she's been a coach out there for a little while and I don't know, it just clicked. And then when I visited the campus in January, it's beautiful. I mean, palm trees everywhere and, yeah, it's just amazing.
Yeah. It's tough not to love Los Angeles. Same thing. I went out there with Seth and I'm like, why would you want to come back? You know, why, you know, and unfortunately for him, he's a junior and he's had really no tennis season because of COVID.
Oh, wow.
You know, all the COVID kids, you know, kids that have been in college for 2 years have had 2 years sort of decimated. And so I'm happy for you that you were able to find a place to land because you're competing with three freshman classes. Because all these colleges have not just 4 years of kids on their team, but 6 years of kids on their team. So I'm happy for you. Any idea where you think you might fit in that lineup?
Hopefully one or two.
Really? So you think you're going to jump in right away at the top of the lineup?
I think so, yeah.
Okay. I want you to come back when you come back into town. And that may not be until Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. But at Thanksgiving, I want you to come back, and I want you to come back in again, and I want to hear about how it's going for you.
Yeah, I'll do that.
Do you still have post-college golf goals? If so, what are they?
LPGA. That's what I've been working towards since I was seven. So after college, that's where my dream is to go. So.
Does the coach know that?
Yes.
And she supports that?
Of course, yeah. She was on like the mini tours and everything like that. So she knows what's going on. Yeah, she's amazing.
And you feel like she's going to help you take the final steps to get your game ready to go from college to the pros?
Absolutely. Yep.
What specifically have you talked to her about improving?
pretty much everything, just golf, life in general. She's super supportive with everything. I've met her in person one time when I was out in California because COVID. We still can't visit the schools and everything like that. But yeah, nothing really like specific. It's just everything, really.
Cool. Coach, you got paper also in front of you. What do you want to talk about?
Well, I'll talk about the rest of the girls on the team too, because, you know, it was definitely a team effort all year. And they believed in each other and worked together and supported each other at practice and worked hard at what they had to do. You know, we made it as fun as you can. It's golf, and so if you roll, you know, 50 putts every night, and then you're like, okay, like, we're done rolling putts. What are we going to do? But they made so much fun out of it, and to have that camaraderie and that chemistry happen on a team, you can't find that very often, and when you do, it's just incredible.
Do you inspire that? Is that what you're after, or did they come up with that on their own?
I think I'm a little crazy when we get out there. I have crazy sunglasses. I have crazy wigs. We have crazy things that we do. So we have brownie putt Thursdays. That's a big deal. But I try and make it fun, because then you develop that. Okay, I want to be a golf practice. And that's where we started. You know, when I started coaching golf, I had 5 girls. Now I have 18.
Wow.
You know, so it just helps. It just helps.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's a big deal.
Yeah.
And you know what helps is when you have good golfers.
Absolutely.
Who are good kids.
Yes.
Good golfers who are good kids, yeah. And who are encouraging of the kids who are just starting.
Yep. They come to summer practice. You know, they understand it. I know they play a lot during the summer, so they might not make every practice, but they'll be there for one or two just so that everybody knows everybody else on the team.
Yeah.
Which really helps.
Did you do much teaching, Gracie, to some of these girls on the team? Did you ever go to some girls and say, hey, you know what? Try this.
Well, if they ask, like, I'm not going to say no, I'm not going to help you. Like, yeah. I'll help them to the best of my ability.
Is that something that you enjoy?
Sometimes. With them, yes. But I don't know. I don't think I would be a very
You don't good see yourself being a golf pro one day?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. How about the community and school response your big finishes this year?
Oh, it has been just awesome to have support of the community, support at school. You know, the girls are a big deal, and that doesn't happen too often for girls golf. So it was really nice. We had a great escort into town. We had a big student turnout when we got to school, and it was late when we got back to school.
Yeah,
and they were still there waiting. So we had a great return night. It was awesome.
That's cool. How long did you hang around once you got back and celebrate with the other kids?
Gosh, like, I don't know, probably 30, 40 minutes.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a long time.
That's
yeah.
cool. You had a police escort.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. That was really cool.
Fire department, police department. It was great for 2 city. We had Charlton and Alton.
Wow.
It was great. It was That's great. Cool.
Yeah. 'Cause you're a resident of East Alton.
Mm-hmm.
So you had the East Alton fire department, police department, and you had the Alton fire department, police department out there supporting you guys. So that's really cool. And I'm glad that the community has gotten behind you, and they should. That's fantastic. Yeah. All right. Anything else, ladies, before we get out of here? Anything else you want to say about Marquette Golf?
Good luck.
Yeah. Congratulations. Yeah. It really was a huge season. I'm so happy for you. Mespe winners for 1A golfer and team of the year, obviously. And as always, the guests make the show here on the Metro Esports Podcast. Big thanks to Calvin May, Gracie Pyre, and Deb Walsh, Marquette High School. And for partners Callaway Home Loans, Cassens, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Ram, Keller Williams Marquee, Jeb and Ginger Blasting Game, Integrity Spine and Joint Center, and Front Office Fiduciary Network, and our producers Brian Kroc and Everett Hicks, and our intern at Zoogie J. Thank you for listening to the Metro Esports Podcast, talking all things sports in the Metro.
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.